This morning's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. You should see it on the screens. If you brought your Bibles, use those or the church's smart app on your phone, or simply listen in deep, deep concentration as Jesus talks about Holy Communion. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks, and he said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink this again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." He took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Well, there were times that some of us weren't really sure if we'd find ourselves here today in a new year, the first Sunday of that year, because for some of us, 2019 was a challenge. Now, some of you may say, yeah, I can understand that. Others say, I know somebody for whom that was really true in their lives. Even those who had a physical challenge, looking right here, dear Judy, at you with her leg. All kinds of things are things that get in the way or cause particular problems or struggles. In fact, so much so that some folks would want to say, good riddance to the old year. It was a hard time. Let's just forget it and look forward. I understand that, but it occurs to me with all the difficulties we may have had in this past year, there have to be good things that happened too, either related to the hard things or apart from the hard things, that we don't really want to lose all those things. If we were going to say good riddance and just throw the whole year away, what would we lose too? We want to keep. So as we think about dealing with the struggles and the differences, and we say, yeah, I'd like to just say good riddance, there are things I would not want to let go of in spite of the hardest times. In spite of all that argument, I had somebody say to me in the last couple of weeks talking about this, no, I don't want any of last year. I just as soon have amnesia. Now, that's going to be a tough year if you're going to just wipe a whole year out of your memory banks. I want to erase all the pain and the struggle from my mind, but I wondered, would we really? The dictionary says amnesia is a condition of partial or total memory loss that is caused usually by physical trauma, but it can be the result of psychological trauma as well. Anybody here ever known somebody who really truly had amnesia? Not many of us, because it's actually a pretty rare thing. It can be transient. It can come as a part of a problem, but it can be cleared up as well. But if someone were to have amnesia, I've been trying to imagine how they might feel. To be able to find yourself losing whole blocks of your memory, I mean, it can lose everything to the extreme, or it can be partial and lose just sort of pockets of your memory with that. How might we feel? Take just a moment and think about that experience. What's something a person with amnesia might feel? Tell me about it. Fear. All kinds of reasons to feel fear. I don't know who I am now, for sure. I mean, I may know my name, but I don't know how you fit in my life. I don't know what I'm missing by not knowing who you are. Good looking guy, but I don't know your name anymore because I have amnesia, you know?
And foresight.
And foresight. That's true. At least one of those is true, and I have foresight. What else might we feel if we had amnesia? Acceptance. that we're learning to accept things we can't control, or that people accept us for who we are? What do you mean by that? Okay, so coming to a point of acceptance to where you can then go forward, that's a growth piece in it. If I can't control what it's about and I can't change it, then finally beginning to work through it enough to accept that fact and find my way forward with that. That's a good piece too. What else would you feel if you had amnesia?
Frustration.
Yeah. What if you forgot how to... Say what?
Loss?
Yes, certainly.
Confused?
What else?
Loneliness.
Yeah. So if we had to fight through all those things, how do we go about doing that? Sometimes we try to go back to what we think we know and rehearse some things. And if it's not total amnesia, we can do that. But there are still those places where you go in what you think you know, and then the what you know stops, and there's just fog for these people. I know if I were one with amnesia, I'm sure I would be angry. Don't know who to be angry at. But I'd be angry that I'd lost something really significant, something central, something core to who I have known myself to be in the past. Realizing that something very important is missing. Our memories are so core to us that without them, we struggle to function. I mean, we have this major void in our lives. I mean, how do I know to be who I was yesterday if I don't know who I was yesterday? How do I know the shared values that my community, my family, and others who are closest to me help shape in my life if I don't remember those people? And where do I go that's safe enough for me to try to begin again? Without knowing who we have been, we have a terrible time trying to figure out who we'll be. And it occurs to me there's something about that in changing calendar sheets and changing years. We have a whole 2020 in front of us that is blank, and we can be whoever it is that we choose to be. But if we don't know who we've been, for good or ill, how do we know where we had been going with that? And what if in our relationship together, you and I were very, very enmeshed? What if we had this relationship such that we were both David's Jonathan, if you will, and then I lost you entirely because of my amnesia? What would you lose? Well, I wouldn't be giving you my Jonathan anymore. And I would lose that person who stood beside me, who held me up, who shaped my life. Think of this situation happening with spouses. How do we find our way forward? But we have to find a way forward. As Gary said a few minutes ago, however we choose to do it, coming to acceptance so we can move forward is required. A little over a week ago, I got news that my last remaining uncle And I can say it now because I have no other uncles. He was my favorite uncle. My last remaining uncle passed away. He was an extraordinary man of faith and of science. He was a physician. He spent years as a medical missionary. He led plastic surgeries and organ transplant programs at Mayo Clinic. And he was as comfortable on the world stage pressing forward the goals of organ transplant as he was in playing with me when I was a little boy. And then a generation later, playing with my sons and daughter when they were little. My uncle and I both grew older and followed the paths that God set out for each of us, taking us different places. But upon hearing the news that he passed, I immediately saw my Uncle John chasing my little boy around the backyard as he was teaching him how to spell his own name and memorize his address. And as they would trot around the backyard, my son, afraid this guy was going to catch him, but my uncle laughing at him the whole process, he would be behind him saying, "My name is Bradley. And he went through the whole thing of his address with it. And with every step, there was another, letter. And he would do that. And then my son would say, "My name is Bradley, age 4. He didn't say age 4, but I'm trying to tell you, he wasn't a senior in high school when this happened. And I could see him chasing around the backyard until my Uncle John got winded and he picked him up and he put him into the crook of the tree and he continued with him. And my son just saying the same thing, following up, and he knew his address. I'm not even sure where we lived at the time. I couldn't tell you the address now. But that image was like I saw it yesterday. I remembered it because he was important in my son's life and in my life. What would I lose if I lost that memory of relationship together? You know what I'm talking about, because you've had those same feelings too. Not about my Uncle John, I understand that. But somebody in your life. Maybe that's pretty extreme. Let's pull back into the everyday kind of thing for us together. Have you ever felt like you've been so focused on the present that you really have lost touch with the past? I mean, you know it at least intellectually, but you really don't connect with what your feelings were when you were younger. Sometimes people try to look at old pictures, old albums to get that back. And I've done that, and it works for a bit, but a lot of times all I can see is me. I know me in a picture, or I know my parents in a picture, but I have no clue about everything else about the picture. I have no clue as to who the other people are, and my mom and dad didn't do the thing that some of you all did, and turn over the back, which they wrote on the back so you wouldn't forget, because they were sure they'd never forget. And I could tell from the background some hints about it. And I could tell there must have been a wedding going on because of the way everybody was dressed. But I had no clue who was getting married. So looking at back pictures don't help a whole lot for me. What works for you? Maybe going home works for you and seeing the places you grew up and trying to regain the connections. When I go, I think of going to my grandmother's home in Southern Illinois, my father's mother. I cannot see her there without seeing my Uncle Charles, my great Uncle Charles, and his old pipe as he sat in his recliner. And I was watching him as I was sure he was asleep, and then I'd see a little curl of smoke go up about 10 minutes later. He knew how to nurse a pipe. And he had this, he was an old Navy guy, and he had this woman who danced on his forearm. Later on, he had, you know, he had a hula skirt put on, a grass skirt, so it was a little more acceptable. But those are part of the picture. And I can't picture my family, my grandmother, thus seeing her brother, who after the war came back and lived with her to take care of her children because her husband died when he was 25. I got a story to the picture. It helps me know who I am. But I want to show you the picture. You say, oh, look, there's a gruff old guy with a questionable tattoo, and he moves it just right. An old pipe. You wouldn't have a clue. And that's okay, because it wasn't your relationship. Now, all that I raised to talk about the need for us to ground who we are in who we have been with those who shape our lives. In fact, not to put too fine a point on it, to ground ourselves in Christ. Who Christ has been. We come to this first new Sunday of this new year, and we're facing the challenge of going forward, knowing who we are so we can know who we will be. And there will be challenges, personal challenges in our lives, challenges as a congregation in our denomination. There will be challenges to know who we're called to be in Christ, and we can only know that as we remember who we have been. And when Jesus sat down with the disciples, reclined at the table of the disciples, being a little more accurate, he said to them, I have longed for this time, my last time, to share with you for a while. He explained to them what it was all about with the bread and the cup. He says, take this, eat this, drink from this, remembering me until I come back. Remembering me, that wasn't Jesus' need to be remembered. It was our need to remember. Because something's going to happen to the disciples, and not very long after that, there's going to be a challenge to get through, and if they didn't remember who Jesus was and still would be in their lives, they wouldn't have the strength they would need to get through that challenge. Remember me until I come again. And as you remember me, you remember who you are, and you remember there is a call to go forward. I believe there is something that is, what's the word I want? It's not inherent, but it works that way. There's a requirement in our own lives that we have to connect the Lord's Supper with remembering, if we're believers, with a grounding of ourselves. Remembering the Lord's Supper provides spiritual mooring. There was a man named Adam Zeman. He was a physician, or at least a research doctor. Researching in the area of cognitive and behavioral neurology in the UK. And he was working and writing about amnesia and memory loss and their relationship to epilepsy. He mentioned two patients that he called Peter and Marcus, and they described their amnesia in very similar terms. One said, my memory of my past is a blank space. I feel lost and hopeless. I'm trying to explore a void. Both described how disconcerting it is to look at photos. Even though they recognize themselves, they have no recollection of the moment. One said that it's like reading a biography of a stranger. He's conscious of recent memories as well, slipping away from him, like ships sailing out to sea in the fog and never coming back. There are two things that stand out in Zeman's study. First is, without memory, it's hard to cling to identity. So one of the patients said, I don't have the moorings other people do. They draw on to know who they are. The second important thing is it's hard to have hope when we don't know our past. The inability to invoke the past generally impedes our ability to imagine a future. I spent a lot of time thinking about that one thought. And while I know and you know that our calendars are artificial and that we know we've passed from 2019 to 2020 because the page says so, because we know we've passed from December to January because we've been told that, we know that this year there's a leap year because there's that extra piece of every day for the last 4 years that have to be made up somewhere. There is nothing new in the passing of time. As long as I know who I am. But when I forget, where do I go? If you forget, where do you go? When you think about that in terms of the Lord's Supper and our relationship with Christ, how can we be the people of God and carry out His call in our lives if we forget who we are? And so this morning, we turn the page and it's a new month in a new year. We're going to share in Holy Communion and moor ourselves or ground ourselves in Christ. So whatever comes in our lives, we know from where we've come, from whom we've come, and we're open to hear His calling us forward. So I want to challenge you this morning, as we're going to have communion here in just a moment. If you choose to come, come with an openness. Carry with you your disappointments and your pains from 2019. Don't harbor any of that stuff. Don't keep it hidden anywhere. Carry it with you and lay it before Christ. Be free of that. But also, as you take these elements, take them remembering body broken for you, blood shed for you in a new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. So as we live forward, we live in His power. And our call is to remind other folks of who He is and who they can be in Him.